The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Mary, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. This past week, I was asked to help plan a conference for the Gen X and Millennial clergy the week after Easter. Now, first of all, I won't get into why we're doing a conference the week after Easter for priests. That's just a bad idea, but there we were. So on top of everything else we were doing for Lent, we were sitting around planning what we were going to do with this quality time together. And the question was brought up, what is one of my core values of what I do as a priest, as a Christian, as a faithful believer? What was one of my core values? Why did I live my life the way that I did as a Christian? And it stumped me for some reason, leaving out the call to be a priest and years of seminary and getting to serve in a parish that is dynamic as St. Cross. What did I value the most about church? And I came to a few conclusions, one of which was that the answer was probably going to change on any given day or during any season in which we are living out our lives together through the lens of Jesus Christ. But before I give you my answer, because that would be too easy, right? Before I give my answer, I want you to stop and think for a moment, what is it that you value about being Christian? And I want to be clear here, not what do you value about St. Cross, but if you are in any church, anywhere, what about your spirituality do you value that brings you even to worship on Sunday? What is it about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit that stirs in you the desire to lead a God-centered life? Y'all have something floating in your minds now?
Okay.
So, I think the easy one for us, you know, the pat answer is to roll off, well, my value is that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And it's not a bad answer. There's no right answer on this, by the way. But one has to dig deeper. If Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, well, then what does that mean that we actually value in our lives? And I have to say that sitting with a group of my peers and answering these questions, I get a little bit more pressure because I think I should come up with something really deep like sanctification or, you know, reconciliation or social justice ministries that bring out the essence of my, you know, I could go on. But the answer that stuck in my head and would not leave me was what I value most, at least at this time in my life, is community. Community that is shaped by the examples and the teaching of Jesus. And I have to admit that in my mind, community seemed like a cheap answer. Like, really? That's the best you have? But the group kind of thought there was some movement around it as we all shared, and they didn't look at me as if I had just, you know, walked into my first day of seminary, so I thought, okay. And then I began digging into the readings a little bit deeper that we heard today, those readings, and I began to see that maybe I wasn't quite as far off base as I thought I might be, at least for this moment. Both Ezekiel's Valley of the Dry Bones, which I have to, great reading today, Kendra, really excellent job on that. The Ezekiel's Valley of the Dry Bones and John's raising of Lazarus both involve community, which seems odd because at first read it seems as if attention is on the individuals, Ezekiel, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Jesus. I mean, Ezekiel starts out with the hand of the Lord came upon me. And it's Ezekiel and God, and that was it. And it goes on to give this vivid description of God reaching in and bringing life back into long, lifeless, deserted, dry bones. And God does bring those bones back to life, but not as a person. No, God goes on to explain that those bones are the house of Israel, God's community. Oh, my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. It's about the community of God, the house of Israel. And each and every one of them, just as each and every one of us, should have a personal relationship, a personal prayer life, hopefully personal conversations with God. The focus, though, as a Christian, isn't just on ourselves. It's on our community. God-centered, God-shaped, that hopefully in turn shapes our own lives. And the gospel reading is similar. And you all know I love the Gospel of John. I could preach for 4 hours. Half of it would be taken up just rereading the gospel. But it is such an amazingly powerful story. And it comes at this transitional moment in the Gospel of John. It's the last of Jesus' signs that he will do before it enters into the passion narrative. And in fact, the book of John is divided right at this point. And in true Johannine style, Jesus uses the occasion to once again explain who Jesus is, and that what Jesus does isn't necessarily for him, or for you, or for me, but it is done for the glory of God. Jesus has conversations in this reading with both Martha and Mary about faith and what faith means. But it's the very last words of today's gospel that strike me the strongest. Jesus, having raised Lazarus 4 days dead in a tomb, turns to the crowd, not Mary and Martha, the crowd who was gathered, and says, "Unbind him, let him go." Lazarus hasn't just been raised from the dead, but rather has been brought back into the community of the living. And in essence, it takes the community to unbind Lazarus. He needs the help and the care of those around him to continue living just as we do. And these readings of resurrection and community come the week before we begin our own entrance into Holy Week. And they serve as a reminder that the resurrected life isn't a delayed reality. Martha, oh yes, I know he'll be raised on the last day. But rather, with the raising of Lazarus, Jesus teaches us that the resurrection isn't something we wait for, but it's something that we live into each and every moment of our lives. Resurrection is a present reality right now. And it's one that we are called to live out together as a Christian community. Living a resurrected life doesn't mean being raised from the dead as Lazarus was. But it does mean living into the resurrection that we profess is the foundation of our faith. Leading a resurrected life means living into hope and love and forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but I can't do those by myself. Living out a faithful life does not, and I believe, cannot happen alone. Living a resurrected life happens when we come together with our different values and the different challenges in our lives, and we work to support each other in our community with Jesus at the center. Now, let me be very clear about what I believe community is. Community does not mean that we think alike, pray alike, and act alike as if we were Stepford Christians. Lord knows that if you read through the gospel, the disciples had each their own version of how one should live out their faith. And I am sure that if I went around and asked what value each of you came up with, that we would have a wide variety of answers. Thank God. Because it's that variety, it's that different lenses that we all look through that make us strong. We all hold a part. Each of us holds a part of what makes our Christian community vibrant and strong and faithful. We do it together. Living a resurrected life means that we do think together, we do pray together, we worship together, and we come to the same table together. We support each other in our struggles to be forgiving and hopeful and reconciling and loving day in and day out. We are stronger as individuals and as a community when we bring our variety of values and gifts and come together for the prayer and the sharing of a meal and living in fellowship with one another. And some of us do that on Sunday morning, and some of us do it on Bible study, and some of us do it over a cup of coffee. Some of us, I think, may do it on Facebook during the week. Some of us may come together to make meals for those who are in need. We each have our own ways of being community. But that's what we are called to be. And to that end, I make what might be considered a shameless plug, but truly, truly is an honest invitation. I invite, and I say invite, not challenge, not guilt trip, not anything else, but I invite each and every one of you to join us in community for the walk to the cross and into the tomb. Come and be your part of our community next Sunday, Palm Sunday, when we hear the Passion story. Come and be part of our community at the Seder or the Lenten Wednesday teaching and Eucharist. But I invite you especially to come and be with us in prayerful community on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. And if you can't come here, find somewhere nearby where you can go and be a part of that community. And it's hard. It's hard because we have work and soccer and theater and volunteer practices and family. But I urge you to make our community a priority for Holy Week and to experience Holy Week anew as we pray together, as we walk together to the cross. Experience Holy Week anew. Be present to yourself. Be present to relationship with God, and most of all, be present to one another. Amen.